بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in last week's pre-khutbah talk, we commenced the discussion related to a very short yet very profound chapter of the Quran, and that was Surah Al-Asr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to witness the passing of 1 year and the beginning of a new year, we thought it appropriate to discuss this chapter of the Quran, which reminds us of the importance of time, the passing of time, the lapsing of time, and it provides us with a strategy, with a plan, how to make most of the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. So Allah azza wa jal brought us into existence, and after giving us life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with the capital of our existence. We spoke of time as the capital of your life. A businessman has a capital, and he uses that capital to invest in a commercial enterprise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us existence and then provides us with capital of our existence. Al-Asr, the capital of our existence, which is time, is such a capital for which we did not make any effort. Allah gave it to us. There was no toiling, no struggling, no energy required on our part in order to earn this capital. What a great capital. There is no greater capital than time. There is no monetary entity that exists in this world that is more valuable than time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us into existence. He gave us al-asr. And then we learned in the second ayah of this chapter, Allah says, "Inna al-insan lafi khusr," that insan is in a constant state of loss. You are losing that capital all the time. Now, the question might come to mind. If Allah gave me existence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me and gave me the capital of my existence, which is in the form of time, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of insan is in a constant state of loss, then what's the point of my existence? What is the point of my existence? If I am constantly losing the capital which I was given in order to invest, what's the point of investing? Why would I invest? If you are told of a business opportunity and you are required to invest in that business opportunity, but you are told that your investment will produce no returns. In fact, you are told that you will lose all of your investment. You will never invest in such a business enterprise. You will not even consider it as an opportunity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the capital of life, time, and then He says we are in a constant state of loss. So what is then the point of our existence? In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us good news. He gives us comforting news. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that there are those who wisely invest the capital of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Brothers, this ayah, the last ayah of Surah Al-Asr, it informs us of how to make our existence in this world a meaningful one and how to gain from the time. Allah now teaches us how to use that time that Allah has given us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with an investment strategy. Subhanallah. Allah gives us capital. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the capital, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gives us an investment strategy. A businessman, when he has received capital, and he has earned capital, and he is now ready to invest, the first thing he does, a wise businessman, the first thing he will do is he will create a business plan. He needs a strategy. There must be a business plan in place before he decides to invest his money, before he starts up his business. His business plan will contain goals that he wishes to achieve, methods on how to achieve those goals, and perhaps a time frame within which those goals will be attained. He has a business plan. He has a strategy after he has received the capital. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the capital of life. And it's so amazing that after giving us that capital of life, the time that we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of strategists, the best of planners, He now says, this is your strategy plan. This is how you will invest the capital of your life and your existence, which I have blessed you with. Al-Asr, the time. So this ayah, consider this ayah to be your investment strategy. This ayah is the roadmap for a believer. And that is why Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he said about Surah Al-Asr that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to reveal no other ayah, no other chapter of the Quran apart from this chapter, he says it would be enough for the believer, it would be sufficient for a believer. Why? It informs him of the capital of his existence, which is time, and thereafter it gives him a plan, a strategy, an investment strategy as to how to use that capital of life in order to attain success in this dunya and akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this business strategy or this investment plan, He mentions four steps. There are four things that you must observe and adopt in order to wisely invest the capital of your life. What are the four? The first, Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So Allah says, all of insan, all of mankind are in a constant state of loss. Then He excludes the wise ones, those who use al-asr to invest it wisely. How do they invest it? According to the strategy plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided. Number one, Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who have brought iman, belief in Allah, accepting Allah as the Rabb, accepting Allah as the Ilah, accepting the message which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had introduced to the world, accepting the Quran and the message of the Quran, iman. We are all familiar with the fundamentals of iman. Iman, belief in Allah, is the first step to realize that we are in this world to achieve a higher purpose. Iman. Without iman, there's nothing to look forward to. Without iman, you will work for this world. You will die for this world. What a worthless cause it would be to live in this world without iman. So what is iman? Belief in Allah. It is to remind us and make us realize that our existence in this world is to serve a higher cause. There's a purpose and an objective for our existence. Without iman, you will live in this world and not have any real objective in life. You will not see any purpose of living. And that is, you find many a times people who are devoid of iman, the only solution they see to end their problems and to perhaps and the anxiety that they are suffering from is to take their life. Because there is no iman. Iman, belief in Allah, is what provides us with a hope that if we are suffering in this dunya, we will not suffer in akhirah. There is life after death, which is far better for a believer than the life of this world. And that is based on iman. There's something to look forward to. No matter how difficult the situation is in this world, you understand it's temporary. And this difficulty will come to an end once my capital is used up, the capital of my life. And then I will be transferred into the life after death. So I have something to look forward to. It is a temporary suffering. It is a temporary difficulty that I'm experiencing in this temporary world. To understand iman, the importance of iman, let us go back to the businessman. Every businessman requires a license to trade. You need a permit to trade. You cannot trade without a license. If a person trades without a license, then the authorities, they will confiscate his merchandise. He will lose everything. He will lose everything, his capital, whatever he has purchased with that capital, and whatever he has earned through that capital, it will be confiscated. He will be left with nothing. Why? Because he did not have the license. He did not have the permit to trade. Similar to this will be the situation of the disbeliever on the day of Qiyamah, the one who had no iman. Though he may have contributed towards society, though he may have participated in many charitable deeds, and though he may have carried out many acts of kindness and many acts of good while in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us that on the day of Qiyamah, he will come before Allah, all his deeds are confiscated. Why? The permit. He did not have the license. Iman is the criterion of eligibility. The eligibility criterion is iman. That is what will earn a person acceptance in the court of Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are people who have no iman. They do not have the permit. They do not have the license in the dunya. Allah says they do amal. They do good deeds. And they perform acts of kindness. And they will be rewarded for it in the dunya. But on the day of Qiyamah, when the authority will study the merchandise that they have produced on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا. And we will regard, we will consider, we will study what they have done of the deeds in the dunya. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Allah says, but we will make them as dust dispersed. Nothing. He will find absolutely nothing. So that is iman. Number one, the criterion of eligibility. That is the first aspect with regards to the strategy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with in order to invest our time wisely. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after iman, they have brought iman, but that is not enough. Belief in Allah is not enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, number two, after you have professed belief in Allah, and you have accepted Allah as your ilah and your Rabb, you have accepted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Rasul of Allah azza wa jal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So number one is faith, and number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, part of your strategy, the plan which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with, is they have performed acts of righteousness. As-salihat. Amilu as-salihat. Now, in Arabic, there are two words that are used to denote doing something, to do. You have fa'ala and you have amila. Fa'ala means to do. Amila also means to do. But you find that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of a salihat, what does a salihat mean? A salihat means acts of righteousness, acts of piety, acts of kindness. All of those acts which are acceptable in the court of Allah, which are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fall within the category of a salihat. Now amongst a salihat, you have the obligatory acts, salah, zakah, hajj, sawm in the month of Ramadan, and so on and so forth. And then you have the voluntary acts and the voluntary deeds. Just to digress, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of these two categories of deeds in a hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the obligatory act. Let's take an example that we are all familiar with, and that is salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the obligatory act that it is the most beloved act in the sight of Allah. The obligatory act. Any obligatory act. So the obligatory salah is far better and more beloved to Allah than the optional salah. The obligatory fast is far greater and more beloved to Allah than the optional fast. The obligatory hajj is more beloved to Allah than the optional hajj. But Allah Azza wa Jal informs us and reminds us of the importance of the optional deed. Don't neglect the optional deed. Why? Because even though the obligatory act is the most beloved act in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, your obligatory act will bring you to a certain point in your relationship with Allah. It brings you to a certain level. You don't want to stop at that level. You want to go beyond that level. What's going to take you beyond that level? Allah says, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبْ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. What does يَتَقَرَّبْ mean? Allah says, my servant will continue coming closer and closer to me, drawing nearer and nearer to me through what? النَّوَافِلِ. Optional deeds. Let's take a simple example. The relationship between husband and wife. We have a relationship with Allah. Of course, we cannot compare anything to that relationship, but for our understanding, to understand this point, there are obligatory rights that each one owes to the other, or that each one has over the other. The husband and wife. The husband, obligatory rights that he owes to the wife. He must provide for her, provide a shelter for her, provide food for her, provide clothing for her. These are the obligatory rights that she has over him. Now, when he fulfills these rights of hers, which are of an obligatory nature, it is appreciated. She will appreciate it, hopefully. Right? It's appreciated. But that brings your relationship to a certain level and a certain point. When you go beyond the obligatory, you go beyond the rights, and now you do things for her that are not of an obligatory nature, what does that do to the relationship? Subhanallah, it takes the relationship to a different level. Now there's more than appreciation. The same thing when it comes with your relationship with Allah. Don't confine your acts of worship to the obligatory acts. Why? You will remain on that one level. It is appreciated undoubtedly by Allah. But you don't want your relationship to end over there. You want to take it to the next level. You need to engage in those optional acts. You don't have to do it, but you do it. Why? Because you love doing it. For who? For the one you love, Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's a salihat. We were speaking of the difference in Arabic between fa'ala and amila. There are two words that are used in Arabic that mean to do. Whenever Allah speaks of a salihat, and we have an understanding of a salihat, what is meant by a salihat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not use the verb fa'ala. Inna alladhina amanu وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. He does not say, وَفَعَلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. He did not say, فَلْيَفْعَلْ فِعْلًا صَالِحًا. It's always amila when it comes to salihat. He doesn't use fa'ala. Why does Allah use amila and not fa'ala, even though amila and fa'ala convey the same meaning? Because amila, amal, means to do something over and over and over again. So, amilu wa salihat, what does it mean? I don't do it once or twice, the salih, that act of righteousness and an act of kindness and an act that is beloved to Allah. I don't do it once or twice, but amilu wa salihat means I'll do it over and over and over again. Allah did not say fa'alu wa salihat. So the first thing we learned from this is they have brought iman. After they brought iman, you must prove your authenticity. Belief is not enough. You must prove you are real. How do you prove that authenticity? What is the manifestation of that iman? Amilu as-salihat. They continue doing acts of righteousness. That means you are true to your iman. You are true to your faith. You are authentic. A person cannot claim, or he cannot state that I believe this is the best business plan. This is the best investment strategy. He says, I believe it, but he's not prepared to effect it. So one is iman. You need to effect that iman. That iman must translate into action. That is how you are using that capital that Allah has blessed you with wisely. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Then Allah used as-salihat. So amilu means to do it over and over and over again. You are not satisfied with performing that good deed once or twice. You are not satisfied. It's not enough for a believer. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, لَيَشْبَعَ الْمُؤْمِنْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ حَتَّى يَكُونَ مُنْتَهَاهُ الْجَنَّةِ. A believer never gets enough of good until he reaches Jannah. So he's always craving for good, to do good, to be good, and to carry out these acts of righteousness. So that is amilu. Then Allah says, as-salihat. What does as-salihat mean? It's the plural of saliha. Salihat, plentiful. So there's repetition of the good deeds, and there's a lot of it. A whole lot of good deeds. That is the second point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes. Now we are insan, and as insan, we are prone to become neglectful. We are prone to forget. We are prone to fall short, to remain, you know, on good deeds consistently is not an easy task. It is difficult to consistently carry out many, many good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that from us. So naturally you will lose steam. Naturally you will lose energy. It happens to every one of us when it comes to the performance of acts of righteousness. And that is why, step number 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. The third strategy, you want to remain consistent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with a strategy in order to remain consistent. On what? On your salihat. How do you do that? Allah says, وَالتَّوَاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. What's التَّوَاسِ بِالْحَقِّ? At-tawasi means that there's mutual encouragement between one or more, between two or more people, mutually encouraging one another to uphold the truth. And that mutual encouragement is steered and driven by what? Love, concern, and compassion. SubhanAllah. That's tawasi. What an amazing strategy Allah provides us with. So you want to remain on salihat. What's the best way? Because you are going to lose steam. Allah says, those around you, tell them to do what you are doing. Don't command, don't instruct, don't demand. Allah says, tawasaw. What does tawasi mean? Tawasi means to encourage with what? Love, compassion, and concern. That's a tawasi. When you do that, how do you benefit? You are the direct and immediate recipient of that. How is that? Number one, you are going to create an environment within your home now. And when the environment is conducive, it becomes easy for you to do it. If you are the only one who is praying in the home, if you are the only one who is reciting Quran in the home, it's difficult. No one else is doing it. You are the only one doing it. So you want to do salihat, which was step number 2 after iman, salihat. You want to do it, but the environment's not conducive. So what you got to do is make the environment a conducive one. How do you do that? Allah says with love, compassion and concern, encourage everyone else to do it. Tawasaw bil haqq. So you're encouraging one another, and you are helping one another to uphold al-haqq, to uphold the truth. So that's the first benefit. You are creating the environment. Number two, when you are telling someone else and you are encouraging someone else to do something good, you naturally will want to do that good, because you won't want to preach something that you don't practice. So what an amazing strategy, subhanAllah, when you think about it. In your workplace, at the time of salah, you are going to pray salah. Encourage others to pray salah with you. In your home, you are doing salihat. That salihat should not be confined to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, encourage with love, concern and compassion everyone else around you to do that salihat as well. In that way you are creating an environment. Ask yourself how easy it is in the month of Ramadan to worship Allah. How easy it is to remember Allah when you are in Makkah al-Mukarramah, you are in Madinah al-Munawwara. Why? Because there is an environment. So this should be your New Year's strategy. How am I strategized? Allah is teaching us. La aqlaka at-tadbir. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there's no intelligent that supersedes planning. If you plan and strategize, you are an intelligent person. So strategize, plan. This is my target this year, to create this environment within my home. You have control over that environment. Every other environment, you don't have control over it. But that environment, you have control over it. Remember the key words. It's encouragement with love, concern and compassion. At-tawasi bil-haq. When husband and wife get married, they are boarding into a vehicle. You are boarding a vehicle, and the first thing you do is when you get into a vehicle is you punch in the destination. The destination must be a common one. The destination is Jannah. Beyond Jannah, the destination is Allah. And now the two of you need to tawasi. Right? Because along the way, the husband might feel, wait, you know, it's December, it's that time of the year. Let's take our foot off the pedal. And the wife will remind him, we got a destination to get to. And perhaps the wife will want to do the same, and the husband will remind her, hold on, we got a destination to get to. That's tawasi bil haqq. You are reminding one another to uphold the truth, to be loyal to Allah. Then along the way, there are passengers who will get onto that vehicle. Allah will bless you with a son. Allah will bless you with a daughter. And as you are moving along, tawasi, all of you, if every family can have this commonality in interest, this commonality in objective, there will be no need for us to attend any programs or for us to attend any talks, because the objective is fulfilled. So that's tawasi. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the last ayah, part of this ayah, Allah says, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ. So on the one hand, you are encouraging and reminding one another to uphold the truth, to be loyal to Allah, to serve Allah. Right? That's التَوَاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. Then lastly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَوَاسُوا. Again, He uses التَوَاسِ. وَتَوَاسُوا. And they mutually, with love, compassion and concern, encourage one another to do what? Asabr, restrain. So one is, you are asking them to do good deeds. You are encouraging them to do good deeds. But perhaps along the way on the journey, daddy, but my cousin, my friend, my so-and-so, they get to do this, they get to do that. What do you encourage them with? Sabr. Sabr. Let us restrain, let us hold back. So while we're encouraging them to uphold loyalty to Allah and to carry out acts of righteousness, salihat, at the same time, what you are doing is you are encouraging them to hold back, restrain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a wonderful and amazing, mind-blowing strategy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with. If we can live our lives this way, then we are from amongst those who have wisely invested the capital of our existence, which is al-asr, the time that Allah has blessed us with. May Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding.